Oh, I'm so excited to chat with our friend Craig Bolanos. Always a great guest, co-founder, wealth advisor, VestGen Wealth Partners. Craig, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. I mean, it's sunshine and roses. Valentine's around the corner. I was lucky and got a dinner reservation, ooh, even though it was last minute. And my jobs report, that was a nice print, 130,000 jobs, bringing that unemployment rate down to 4.3. I'm smiling.
Okay, is there something weird about believing the jobs report when it comes out initially and the market reacting accordingly, even though now two times we've had gigantic backwards oopsie-daisies that move the markets none? Like, at what point do we go, okay, this jobs number is fine or dandy or whatever, but I don't know if we can believe this thing anymore. And I'm not saying nefarious things about the Trump administration. I'm just saying they've had to do some downward revisions looking backwards now twice over both administrations.
Yeah, you know what? These revisions have been large. The revisions have been substantial. The current administration was incredibly critical, much criticism over to the people who counted the numbers last go around. And to have the same thing happening on their watch makes everybody raise it with an eyebrow. But we've always seen revisions. Sometimes they're larger, sometimes they're smaller. What matters is the headline number. That's what markets trade off of. And bottom line is we had a good headline number. So it's not quite Goldilocks, but it's pretty darn close.
In other words, if there was bad news in the past, as you've told us many times, the market's already looking well into the future, they just don't care.
No, they don't care. And in fact, I would argue there was trepidation over the jobs, but there was some anticipation that it might come in hot. I think that's part of the reason you had a three-day rally. Today we gave back a bit. It's kind of the old what? Buy the rumor, sell the news. I think there was evidence of that happening today. But listen, we're in a good spot here. I mean, you know, one of the biggest risks is that we actually have a run hot economy. In the same vein, you know, I think those Fed rate cuts, regardless of what anybody says, I just don't think we're going to get one or two of them still this year. I'm hoping for two rate cuts, because I do think this no, you know, let's call it what it is, John. I trembled over my words. We've been in this no hire, low fire phase. I think it quickly can turn to no hire, more fire. Everybody knows that. That's why I got to get those rate cuts later this year.
Aye. So you're still keeping that in the back of possibilities that while we haven't had much movement in the labor market, if it does start to move, that could move the markets and move the number. Yeah, I think that it's smart to at least have the Fed keep a couple rate cuts in their back pocket for when that happens, Craig, so that it can kind of ease some panic if you start seeing job numbers go lower, right? I think that that is maybe the argument to keep rates where they are for a little bit so that you can still have that ammo ready to go when you need it.
Well, that's just right. I mean, the bottom line is for all of our focus on artificial intelligence and tech, the reality is solid growth has been, I think, the most important part of this market, weathering all the volatility the last couple years, right? And we need to keep this labor market in that just right phase, because if you move the unemployment number up to 5, we're still going to be just fine. But if that headline unemployment number gets to 5 at the end of the year, and I do think there's a chance, then the screams of the affordability challenges, which are real, they're going to become not just real, they're going to become incredibly acute, and this consumer would roll over.
A lot of us should not look at the P&E number, right? That's not what our lives should be. We should have people like you at VestGen Wealth worry about that stuff. So I'll ask you, Craig, even though I may not worry about it, do you look at stocks and what their price is versus what their earnings are and see anything that's out of whack to you to a degree that makes you worry that there's something systemic wrong with the market?
Well, I don't think there's something systemically wrong. I think right now we're just priced a little rich, and that's why great advisors like those at VestGen Wealth Partners, we pay attention to things like geography. I mean, John, 22 is a number, 22 times earnings in the U.S. 15 is another number, 15 times earnings in Europe. John, what's cheaper, 15 or 22?
15.
We all know it's 15. So So that's why I think we're about to put up a second back-to-back year where international outperforms domestic. And I think people need to look at the geography very carefully in their portfolios, because de-dollarization is not something that was cyclical and temporary. I think de-dollarization is a longer-term secular play, and people need to get more money onto the other side of the pond. So yes, good advisors pay attention to the P and the E.
Well, I guess that's what I'm asking. So if I'm working with VestGen Wealth Partners and you guys have access to my money, right? Is that something you do with a phone call and you chat it over? Or is that something that you say, hey, here's our game plan for you. When markets look like this, here's what we're going to be doing. And you actually are able to go in there on behalf of your clients and make those changes so that they don't have to worry about it. Do you see what I'm asking? I'm just like curious, like how much an individual is involved, or how much the advisors are involved, or if there's constant communication between the two?
There's got to be constant communication, because communication is the key to success. You know, one of the things I talk about with all my clients is 6 for 26, 6 investment themes for 26. And I got to make sure we're in agreement on what those themes are so that we can deploy them when the time is right. Because, John, we're not just in the intelligent quotient business. We're in the implementation quotient business. That's another form of IQ. And markets move quick, trends move fast, and you got to be able to execute. And that means there needs to be a common agreement, a collaborative relationship on what we're going to do, and then allow us, the professionals, to be good stewards and just go get it done.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes if once it reaches the ears of our consumers, and maybe not our WGN, who I consider to be pretty educated, smart audience, especially people listening to this show or the Noom Business Lunch. Not to brag, but I think that they're on it, right? They're listening because they are curious about this stuff. But once it becomes like common knowledge, like, oh yeah, you should have more foreign stocks, you've kind of missed the window at that point. Do you see what I'm kind of asking here, Craig?
Oh, I do. I do. And listen, that's just one great example. I mean, everyone has known that innovation leads to disruption, and that's an investable theme. But too many people were underweight in tech for the longest of time. Now, I think everyone's been hearing that they should probably go global, but fund flows and everything else indicate that no one is. So sometimes these trends just take a while to bake and incubate, and I think this is one of them. Kind of like, John, people say, oh, you need to be investing in infrastructure and energy. Well, you and I have been talking about that for the better part of a year and a half, but fund flows would indicate that people still aren't doing it. So sometimes, even though you hear it, it doesn't mean it's over.
It's interesting. So you're able, and you guys track to see if the trend is actually being done by the people that should be doing them, or you guys think should be doing them. In other words, you can see that maybe there's still runway left on movement into international because people haven't gotten the message. Or does it make you second guess your hypothesis to begin with, Craig?
No, because math never lies, and reversion to the mean always happens. You know, I oftentimes draw for clients, it's tough to say it on radio, a shark chart, right? And anytime two lines diverge by too much relative to the historical precedent, those lines are bound to come back together. That's what mean reversion is. And if you're not careful, the shark comes and eats away your profits. Or in this case, we're talking about just asset location, the shark eats away your opportunities, right? Mm. And I think it just reminds all of us, and that's why your show is so successful, that's why John Williams' show is so successful, because people just need to do their homework.
Yeah.
That's it. You do your homework, and when you do your homework, then you can implement, and it's a great success.
Has the fund flow happened to small and mid-cap yet, or is that still not happened enough yet?
No, I mean, the fund flow into the S&P 600, S&P 400 has been much more of a trade than it has been a true asset allocation. When you look at 1940 Act product, that's a fancy way of saying mutual funds and ETFs. So that's an early trend, but a lot of people don't want to jump on that early trend just yet because you don't know. You suspect that it's going to be durable, but it really hasn't been tested yet, right? But that's an example of where if everyone's just hanging out in the S&P 500, if there was ever a year to begin diversifying into multi-market caps, this is a year. I just think you got to go at a gradual pace.
Okay, we got in the weeds a little bit today, Craig, but I kind of liked it. And I think that people will get a sense of the conversations that you and your team will have with them if they go to getretiredstayretired.com. I love that heady stuff. Craig, take care, my friend.
Great to be with you, John.